Luke 5, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Now, it may seem hard to believe, given that it's February, but Ethan, our student ministry director, has been working very hard getting ready for youth camp. He's getting the registration set up. There's a few spots left, so if you haven't signed that up, I would encourage you to do that. He's getting transportation done and all the rest. And the place that our students are going to be going this year is a place called the Crossing Camp. And you can see a couple pictures on the screen. There's this lake that has a great slide. It has this inflatable where somebody sits on it or lays on it, and you jump on it and it rockets them into the air. They have zip lines. They have this aerial park, all this great stuff. Now, my first experience with church camp was the summer before my fifth grade year. My experience was more like this. That's my cabin, all right? Actually, it may be. That was like 30 years ago. The camp might have shut down. I'm not sure. Now, it wasn't that bad, but it was a very basic camp. We had no air conditioning, no swimming pool, just the good old Lake of the Ozarks. There was only a screen door on our cabin. You couldn't lock it. There was no restrooms in our cabin. See, our youth are going to be going to like a hotel, and it has everything there. So if you had to go in the middle of the night, you made this walk. I'm not even sure you could get away with this today, given all the safety concerns. And one thing I will never forget is the mattresses. These all-weather mattresses, this plastic covering. I can still smell it today. We didn't have laser tag. We had tetherball. If you're not familiar with tetherball, it's a volleyball with a rope tied to a pole, and you just hit it around. We had one of those in the camp, all right? So the line got pretty long if you wanted to play that game. Zip line? No. We had a concrete pad. What was it for? I think it was an old volleyball court, but those glory days had passed, so we used it for wiffle ball. You want to go swimming? You hiked a half mile to the lake. Would you get covered in ticks and mosquitoes? Yes, you would. This was all part of the camp experience that we paid for. Amen. Now, I will always remember this camp for the amenities or the lack of amenities. That's not the only reason I'm going to remember my first experience at this camp. See, there was a kid staying in our cabin. Let's call him Billy. His name has been changed to protect his identity, but all events are true. And Billy took a different approach to this week-long camp experience. See, the way that he approached it was he was going to make a few changes from how he lived his life with his parents. And the rest of us campers began to notice his approach to the week on day 3. See, we had no air conditioning at this camp, and it being summer, it was very hot, and the smell began to develop in the cabin. Now, you may say, of course, you have 20 preteen boys. Of course there's going to be a smell. But this was a very unique smell, and it came from one specific camper, Billy. And the reason of this foul odor, because it was coming from him, was this. From day 1 to day 3, Billy never changed his clothes. And so we were playing games, tetherball, wiffle ball. We were going to the lake. We were making that long journey to that tick-infested lake and woods. And when we finally got there to swim, the rest of us would just get in our swimming trunks and swim around in the Lake of the Ozarks, not Billy. No, he kept his shorts on, his shirt, his socks, and his shoes. I still remember his Velcro tennis shoes. Now, what kid hasn't gone swimming in a chlorinated pool and you go, "You know what, I'm good. I don't need a shower." Maybe what parent hasn't done that, right? You're on vacation, you go, "They're good for today. I'm exhausted." But the Lake of the Ozarks is not a swimming pool. It's also not one of the cleanest lakes in the world. So after running around in the hot sun, after playing all these games, we would wrap up the night after our kind of Bible study and all that stuff. And the rest of us campers would take a shower. We would change our clothes. Billy didn't do any of that. Billy just laid down on that plastic mattress and went peacefully to sleep. It was amazing. But after day three, we in the cabin couldn't take it any longer. And we went to our camp counselor and we said, something has to be done. Enough is enough. We can't take the smell any longer. And so our camp counselor politely asked Billy, please take a shower. But he refused. Now, it wasn't so polite. He said, you're going to take a shower. I'm going to call your mom. But again, Billy refused. And so finally, like a leper in the Bible, we yelled unclean and we kicked him out of the camp. Actually, we didn't kick him out of the camp, just the cabin. And he went fighting and screaming to the shower, and he finally was washed. New garments were placed on him. It's a very biblical image of church camp. It's all true. It is very true. Now, this camper, he was pretty disgusting, but all he had to do was take a shower, change his clothes, and he was welcomed back into the community of campers. But in our passage this morning that we just read, we are introduced to this man with leprosy. This man is a leper. And to be a leper in the ancient world was very serious. And this man actually was unclean. In fact, anytime he went out in public, he had to declare, unclean, unclean. Imagine how embarrassing that would be, how degrading that would be. But not only that, lepers, they were sent out of the community. They were not allowed in the temple. They had to wear torn clothes. Their hair had to be long and unkept. They had to keep this over the kind of lower portion of their mouth, this covering. And the clothes and the unkept hair and this covering over their mouth was so people knew they were a leper. So they could see them coming and stay the 50 feet away that they were supposed to stay away from them. And in our passage, Luke includes the story in his gospel account to not only tell us how Jesus can heal, but Luke also includes the story, this man with leprosy, to make a spiritual point. What Luke is doing is really giving us a parable or an illustration of our spiritual condition. You see, in the Bible, leprosy represents sin. It's this very powerful symbol of sin. And so what Luke is revealing to us is that leprosy represents an outward sign of an inward condition. And this short but tremendous passage is so relevant as we consider what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because I think we can find ourselves in one of two positions. Some of us in the room today are not followers of Jesus, and we are so glad you're here exploring who Jesus is and what it may mean to follow him. But what you need to know is to become a follower of Jesus, you have to step over that line of faith. Faith meaning you put your trust in who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Amen. But what Luke wants you also to see is that you are a sinner. We are all sinners before a holy God. We are unclean. But this passage is also relevant to those of us that are followers of Jesus. Because we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we are clean. Our sins have been forgiven, but yet we may still be struggling because we don't think we're clean. There may be things in your past that you just can't let go of. Your conscience is not clear. There may be sins that you keep repeating over and over again, and it makes you just feel so unclean. Maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's anger, maybe it's lust. And when you do that, it just grieves your spirit and you feel unclean. Can I be clean again? And so Luke uses this story as an illustration for our condition. Now, in what ways does leprosy represent sin? In what ways is this dreaded disease of leprosy this picture of an outward sign of an inward condition? Well, first of all, leprosy was a physical disease. It affected the person's entire body. Spots would cover your body. And also, depending on the severity and the type of leprosy that you had, the sensation in your fingers and in your limbs would go away. And so they used to think that the fingers and maybe your feet, for example, would just fall off. But what actually happens is you can't feel anything. And so maybe your nose itches, for example, and you just keep scratching it, and your fingers become raw. You step into something hot maybe, and your foot is burned. All these awful things. But also leprosy would lead to the person's death. Spiritually, a leper was excluded from the temple. This was the most important place of worship, and they couldn't be there. Relationally, a person with leprosy had a fractured relationship. You were sent out of the community, away from your family, away from your spouse and your kids, away from your friends. And emotionally, it would be so isolating. Often you were just by yourself. It was just awful. But the biggest issue in the ancient world is that there was no earthly cure. And so we can see how leprosy is this outward sign of an inward condition when it comes to our sin. Because leprosy, just like our sin, spreads over the whole body. Sin has affected our whole being, all of that we are. But also sin will lead to our physical death. Our sin can be isolating. There's emotional issues. There's relational issues, both with each other when we sin against each other, but also with the Lord. We're separated from God. Our relationship with him has been fractured. And just like leprosy in the ancient world, there is no earthly cure for our sin. We can try and try and try to live a good life. Maybe we'll do just enough to get into heaven, but we fall short. And so we need an outside source. We need a cure that comes from outside of us. And so this man, in his desperation, he goes to Jesus and he falls at the feet of Jesus and he says this in verse 12, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Isn't it interesting how he frames his request to Jesus? He doesn't say, "Jesus, if you're capable, if you're able, you can heal me, you can cleanse me." Instead, he says, "If you're willing, you can cleanse me." He knew Jesus could heal him. He had heard reports of Jesus healing. He had maybe even seen Jesus from a distance, but he wasn't sure if Jesus was willing to heal him. And this is like us. Most of us in this room, we've heard of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We know that Jesus can forgive our sins, that we can be forgiven of our transgressions against God. But is he willing? But if we know that Jesus is able, if he's capable to forgive us of our shame and our guilt, to forgive us of our sin, what causes us to ask if Jesus is willing? Maybe for you, it's this. I did some really awful things, and Jesus, he just won't forgive me for it. It's too bad. I keep doing the same sin over and over and over for years. I can't get over it. Maybe Jesus has given up on me. I mess up so much. I sin so much. Jesus has to be so disappointed in me. So I want you to fill in the blank for you. Why do you think Jesus is not willing to forgive you, to cleanse you? Is it something from your past when you were a teenager, or maybe in college, and you can't let those events go? Did you say something to someone, you hurt them? Or maybe you did something that you knew was against God's will, but you did it anyway. Or maybe, as I once heard a pastor phrase it, what is your if? If people knew this about you, you would be so ashamed. And maybe you wouldn't even come back to church. But for this man and for you, Jesus is willing. Jesus knows the worst of us, and he doesn't turn us away. Look at verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. He said, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Now in the Gospel of Mark, this same encounter between Jesus and this man with leprosy is recorded. And you can turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 41 if you'd like. It'll also be on the screen. So Mark 1, 41. But what Mark does in his account is he gives us more of the emotions of Jesus, what Jesus was feeling in this encounter. And what's interesting, in the NIV translation, it says this in verse 41. Jesus was indignant, angry. He reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And the CSB translation, others such as ESV, they say it like this: moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand, touched him. "I am willing," he told him, "be clean." So some translations have indignant, irritated, annoyed. Again, it could be translated, Jesus was angry. Other translations, Jesus had compassion or pity. That's a pretty significant difference between anger and compassion. So which is it? And it's both. Jesus could have been irritated that this man came to him and said, "Lord, if you're willing." That could have bothered him. "Of course I'm willing," he might say. And that made him angry. But I think the reason that the NIV captures this emotion of Jesus being angry, while other translations have Jesus' compassion, is because when Jesus saw this man with leprosy, this one made in the image of God, he saw his brokenness. Yeah. He saw the brokenness in this world, and it made Jesus angry. This one had this terrible disease, and Jesus hated it. He didn't want this man to be like this. He wanted this man to be whole. Jesus wants you to be whole. Yes. And so Jesus was angry, but he was also compassionate. And Jesus shows compassion in two ways to this man with this awful disease of leprosy. Jesus comforts this man by his words and his touch. Jesus says to this man, this outcast of society, I am willing to cleanse you. How wonderful that must have been for that man. Years and years, no hope, leading to his death, but Jesus is willing. But it was also what Jesus did was shocking. He touched this man, and really it's more than that. He grasped onto this man. This man who had probably not been touched or hugged in years. And Jesus did that because he wanted this man to not only know, yes, I'm willing, but also to feel that he was cleansed. Remember, leprosy is the sign of our sinful condition. So what Luke wants you to see through Jesus is that Jesus both wants you to know you are cleansed, to feel that you are cleansed. That you are cleansed. You can feel that your sin is gone, that your guilt, that your shame has been removed. And this is the experience that we can all enjoy. That as we read God's word, as we hear God's word about how we've been cleansed from our sin, but also the Holy Spirit moving and working, we can experience it. It's an amazing experience that you have this shame and you confess it before the Lord. You hold on to those promises found in Scripture, but the Holy Spirit in his grace washes over you. And that feeling that you just, that conscience, you just couldn't let it go, is now removed. The shame is gone. You've been cleansed. And so Jesus, he cleanses this man from his leprosy. And then look at verse 14. It says this. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, why did Jesus send this man to the priest? Why didn't he say, hey, I've done something awesome for you. Go tell everybody. Well, two reasons. One, he wanted this man to go to the priest so that the priest would know the Messiah had come. See, at that time, what the rabbis taught is that if a person had leprosy, they were basically a dead man walking. And to heal someone from leprosy was basically like raising them from the dead. And so there was this great expectation that the Messiah was coming. And so Jesus is saying, go to these priests, show them that you've been cleansed, that you've been healed, so you know the Messiah has arrived. But also the priests, they would look at this man, and per the regulations that were in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, there was this kind of long process, but they would see that he was clean, and then this one who was an outcast would be welcomed back into the community. No longer unclean, he was now clean. And so as we've been saying, this story of this man with leprosy is an illustration of our spiritual condition. So how can you be clean? First of all, have an awareness of your condition. We have to acknowledge that we are unclean, that we are a sinner. But not only do we acknowledge our sin, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He wants you to know. He wants you to feel. And we know that Jesus is able and willing. Jesus is able because he is the perfect sacrifice for us. He was sinless. He had no blemish. He was clean, but he became unclean for us. He is able. But Christ is also willing. And he willingly went to the cross for you. And Jesus Christ, what's so interesting is the different terms that we see for him, the different roles that he plays. And Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our King. But he's also, the Bible says, our high priest. And Jesus Christ, our high priest, determines that we are cleansed from sin. But Jesus also is the one that provided that cleansing. And he provided that cleansing through his blood on the cross. And he did that for you. He did that for you because he wants you to know, and he wants you to feel that you have been cleansed. Your past sins, today, even in the future, you are cleansed. And you are made right, not by our effort, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. This time I would ask if you would please close your eyes and bow your head. And what I want to do over the next few minutes is this. I want us to reflect on this great truth that Jesus wants us to both know and feel that we are cleansed from our sin, that we don't have to carry that burden any longer. And so I'm going to read a number of passages found throughout the Bible that speak of being washed, of being cleansed. And it may be that you want to come to the altar and just have those words kind of wash over you. Rusty will be up here to pray for you, to help you through whatever you may be struggling with. And it may be that you want to be baptized, that you want to go through the waters of baptism, that you want to be cleansed. Psalm 51, we read this. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Jeremiah 33, I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. In Ezekiel 37, I will deliver them, says the Lord, I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. In the New Testament book of 1 John in chapter 1, we read this. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Continuing on verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The book of Titus, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, this great passage. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can have a head knowledge, Lord, a heart knowledge. But Lord, by your grace, we can also feel and Lord, experience the cleansing that only you provide through your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that this passage will be real to us. Lord, that we will cling to it, Lord, in those moments of doubt. But also help us to remember our high priest, Jesus Christ. If we have placed our faith in him, he declares us clean. We thank you for that. We ask everything in his powerful name, his gracious name. Amen.